So, we'll get into today. And I guess at the start of today, I want us to think about the last 18 months at CBC. So I want to take you back to 18 months ago at CBC. And 18 months ago at CBC, I met this guy here who's just going to come up on screen. The guy on the left there, his name is Ewan. And I remember the weekend that I met Ewan very clearly because of what transpired in conversations I had with Ewan. Ewan is a cameraman for Shortland Street. That's his full-time job during the week. I didn't realize, I'm not a Shortland Street fan, sorry, for those who are, you know, but don't kind of get it. But I really like Ewan. And he films every day, like 5 days a week, for every week of the year except for his 3 weeks break. And they just keep churning this stuff out. So that's his job. He's a cameraman for that. On the weekends, he takes some extra work. And so the reason he was with us is that they were down doing a Both Worlds interview of our son Octaves about him finding his family in Paris and in the Congo. And so Ewan was down filming for that on the Saturday. And then on the Sunday, he was here with us at worship filming here. And so we got to chat with Ewan and get to know him. And he's just an amazing guy. Like, we really enjoyed getting to know Ewan. That Sunday when he was here with us and filming for the documentary, it was the Sunday that I made the announcement on behalf of the elders that for the following year, we were going to focus on love at City Bible Church. Now, where that came from was that for some time as elders and staff, we've been considering our vision to be a growing multicultural community who love God, love each other, and love the lost. And we were thinking about how we might set a strategic plan in place to see it realised. Along with this, we'd identify that there were some gaps and some needs around our vision and values. Our values of dependence, grace, empowerment, word, authentic community, and compassion. And as we were beginning to plan the 2017 year, and what would be in the future, the elders came to the strong conviction that we needed to begin at the beginning first and start back at our foundation, which is the love of God. And so on February the 12th, that Sunday when Ewan was here filming, I made the announcement that we as a church were going to be focused on love for a whole year. After worship, I remember been out in the cafe and Ewan was just catching some of that kind of extra footage they do for staff, and then he came up to me and he said something to me that just like hit me that day and has stuck with me since. And I think it's one of those things, sometimes you hear something and it so opens your eyes to see something really important that will just stick with you as I guess one of those moments. I would say a moment in which God was telling me something. It was something that he said that has convinced me, and it's not the only reason, but it's like it cemented it, that the lifelong pursuit of God's love is most important, both in my life and in the life of CBC. This is what Ewan said to me. He said, "So the church is going to be focused on love for a whole year? That's amazing." So the church is going to be focused on love for a whole year. That's amazing. Amazed by love. Amazed by love. You know what? He was right. He was right. He's this man, Ewan, and as far as I know, he had no personal like connection with Jesus. He knew of Jesus and of the Christian faith. He didn't attend a church family. He wasn't part of one. But he got this right. Love is amazing. Love is amazing. There is nothing in all of life that compares to love. I want you to think about that. Nothing comes close to the feeling one gets when they know that they belong, that they're accepted, that they're valued and loved. There's nothing quite like being shown affection and having needs met and being spoiled by someone who loves you And you know that saying, more blessed to give than receive? Isn't that true? Like, there's nothing quite like when you get to fill someone else's cup or plate or gas tank or pantry or Christmas tree or fill their heart or fill their life with your love. There's nothing like that. Nothing compares to being loved and to loving. It's interesting that all the other cool stuff kind of becomes meaningless unless you have someone to share it with, doesn't it? Isn't that final piece of the puzzle, the real joy, is when you get to share the cool stuff. And even the hard stuff. And the not so cool stuff. When you get to share sorrow, grief, and pain, or joy and celebration and victory, or even if you're just sharing stillness, quiet, rest with the one that you love and the one who loves you. Love is amazing. Ewan was right. That's amazing. But you know what? That's not what Ewan meant. Ewan didn't mean, wow, cool, love's amazing. You know what he meant? I'm so surprised. I'm so surprised that a church would focus on love for a year. And you know what my reaction in here was? What else would we be focused on? Here's a guy outside the church. His observation was not that the church is where you find love. He was surprised that a church community would take time to be focused on love. Why is that? Why did he not think that that's what a church was about? Because wouldn't that kind of make sense, that a church was a place that was focused on love? It was interesting last year as we were focused on love all year. I've got to be honest. I heard from people a little bit of boredom and frustration around here from people inside the church being surprised that we were staying on love for so long and when would we move on to something else? Maybe that was you. But what else would we be focused on? It's kind of weird because think about the Christian faith, the Christian message, the heart of Christianity, Jesus, and think about this. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for a friend. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. For God so loved the world that he gave. God is love. We love because he first loved us. But because of his great love for us. Love your neighbor. Love your enemy. Love one another. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Over all these things, put on love. His love compels us. It shouldn't be surprising for a church to be focused on love. And so we began a year 80 months ago. And that one year, we didn't manage to learn everything there was about love. So we've carried on. We're in year two. And that's not because we're slow learners. It's because his love is so beyond understanding and knowledge, and yet he says he wants us to know it. We've been focused on his love and our response to love him and to love one another, and now we're about to move on to the idea of to love the world. A few weeks ago, I was sitting in Andrew's office. Andrew Singh is our operations manager here, but he thinks about more deeper things in operations at times, so I go and chat to him, and He's an accountant, so you think he's a bean counter, but he actually has this real I think, unique way of seeing how God's family and kingdom actually work. And I love to bounce ideas with him. But I went in one day and I was just telling him something I'd seen. Suddenly my eyes had been opened to see around here. And he told me I should share it with you. And so that's what I want to do right now. Back in September 2016, we did this. There we go. That is your staff of CBC. We're a pretty normal bunch. So we went on a retreat, but we actually called it in advance. And we went to Rotorua, and we had an awesome time for a few days. Tony and Leah McLaughlin led us on the first day through trying to identify CBC strengths and weaknesses and opportunities. And on the second day, we were chewing over that, trying to prioritize the things that we needed to be focused on in order to see the vision realized in CBC. A growing multicultural community who love God, love each other, love the lost. And how we could make our values come alive in the church. And so we're working on that. And as we're working through that, we identified these three areas that were like needs and gaps, but also could be our strengths if we took the opportunities. And these were the three things. We considered hospitality. This idea of being around a table and being in each other's homes and lives and world. And we considered the thought of contributing, the fact that we had so many gaps around volunteers and leadership and how could we create a contributing culture. And we thought about unity. What would it be like to have a sense of family and oneness in the church? So as a staff, this is what we sort of, there were other things too, but these three were like reoccurring, repeated themes over the few days and just resonated with us. And so we started to brainstorm about ideas and ways that we could grow a culture of contributors, a culture of hospitality, a culture of being a family. And we were sort of quite excited about that, and we started to think about what would the vision, you know, be reworded as, and values could be reworded as to help it make sense, and what could be the strategic plan to make it happen. And then the elders said, no, not yet. And it was tricky because I'm a staff member and an elder, so I'm like saying no to myself. And so we said, no, not yet. We felt very convicted at the end of 2016 that we needed to first go back to the foundation of our faith, first get the main things right, which is to understand his love and to come to love him. And so we sort of pushed pause on the strategic planning thing, and we haven't hit play again yet because we've been camped on love. And a few weeks ago when I was reflecting on that and then went into Andrew's office, I shared with him this, what I've seen in the last 18 months without a strategic plan. Doesn't mean it's without intentionality by individuals wanting to pursue the things that are important. It doesn't mean that people haven't worked hard at something, but it's been so interesting that this has not been our focus. This has not been our strategic plan, but these are some of the things that we've seen. We've seen more food. Thanks, Anne, for soup and buns. That was inspiring us before this even happened, but you know what I hear and I see is we're finally starting to get around the table here at Agora and out in the community and each other's homes. And we're not there yet, but we are way more hospitable now than we were 18 months ago. And we're maybe back to a little bit more like we were probably 10 years ago. That was a strength, but it became like a weakness. We were kind of like, this is generalizing, I know for you, some of you, you're all over this, but we were like coming, hanging out here, heading off. And it was like the other week, Lorraine and I, we're old people, right? And some of the young people invited us to go have lunch with them down the road at Good George. It was so cool. We were invited to sit and have a meal with some people from another generation, the generation of our kids, and we felt loved. Man, there's more food going down. There's more next Sunday. Cool. There's less gaps. There's still some gaps. There always will be. But there is way less gaps. We've been amazed this year how people have stepped up to volunteer. Some new people have stepped up into leadership. Man, the money thing just blew us away. Like, we exceeded budget. Hey, Andrew, we were blown away. We did not, he thought it, because he's, maybe you got gift of, I did not think we were going to hit budget this year. And we exceeded budget when the pledges came in. And then we've got to raise $140,000 for the roof. And before we start the campaign, $50,000 has been given and pledged. And it's not that it's about that money. It's there's something going on in the body here about people becoming contributors. And then I think it's starting to feel like family, even in our diversity. Just different conversations we've been having lately around the table. You know that one we had a few months ago where we talked about words? I don't know if you remember in Ephesians. Talked about good and bad language. Talked about the needs for different generations around language to be sensitive to each other. It wasn't like one of those Sundays where like the young people were like, yeah, you need to tell the old people that. Or like the old people were like, yeah, you need to tell the young people that. Do you know what I heard? I heard young people saying, man, I need to be more sensitive to the ears of the older people. And I heard older people saying, I need to listen better and not put those filters on. That's family. When we're willing to go the hard stuff and put aside our preference and our safety in order to explore relationship. We've only just begun. But I was sharing with Andrew, look what I'm seeing. We didn't strategically plan. Why is this going on? And you know why it's going on? It's the fruit of love. Because as we come to know His love and we come to love Him, He will change our hearts in the way that we see each other. Because love has to be expressed. And there's only so much, you know, meditating and praising, singing and praying you can do because you've got a lot of the rest of your life. And in the rest of your life, you know what you do? You express your love for God by loving others. Some of you can do the loving God thing really well in the sense of one-on-one solitude. I find that hard. And I work on that. But you know that one of the easy ways, but that's still a hard way to express our love for God, is to love one another. That's why Jesus says, the one who loves me keeps my commands. He's not talking about the Ten Commandments. You read chapter 14, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 of John, and you look for what's the command that Jesus is saying demonstrates love. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved this. By this all people will know that you're my follower. Because you love each other. You see, Jesus says, you love me? You'll keep my rule. You'll keep my command. And I've got one for you. It's new. It's not really that new, but I'm bringing it out afresh. Love each other. Love each other. And love is changing us. God's love is putting people around the table. God's love is filling the gaps. God's love is creating community. The very things we needed, God's love is providing. But we're not done yet. And I've been trying to think, you know, how do we picture the love of God and His calling for us to love? So if we go, this is you, this is me, okay? And there's different ways that we can think about it. We can think about the fact that we come to understand the love of God. And we come to understand that He loves us, and we come to respond to love Him. And that's cool. And we come to know that through Jesus Christ. And then as we come to love Him, we find that loving Him is expressed as we love each other. And so we come to love each other, and we find that others love us, and through that, we find that as this relationship's going, it's all going great. And so in some ways, this is what we've been looking at for the last 18 months, God's love for me and my love for Him that is expressed in loving others, each other in the family. And then we're about to go and explore something else, which is called love the world. There we go. And as we would seek to love the world, it's interesting that the world is probably bigger than just people. We're going to look at that in Jonah. That God loves more than just the people of the world. He loves his creation. And he calls us to love it too. So we're going to journey into here. We might find that at times the world doesn't love us back. But at some things in it, we'll find the God, love of God there as well. So that's pretty cool, and that's one way to look at it. But there's another way to look at it. It's like this. So here's me. And then I come to know God's love, and I love God. But then I find that if I want to love God, then that needs to find expression. And so I find expression in loving one another, each other. And then eventually what we want to do in this next season of life in CBC is we want to consider how we might love the world. Love the people of this world, people who might be last, least, and lost. Love our neighbours, to love the world. Andrew, sorry I'm quoting you a bit today, but that conversations we've been having the last week are really good. And Andrew gave me this great quote the other day. It's so smart and clever, Andrew. I really like it. Andrew says that he got it from somebody else. I was talking to him about what's it like to move from one, you know, circle to the next. What's it like to move from this thing of loving God to loving each other to loving the world? And he said to me, it's not thinking outside the box, it's enlarging the box. When you hear that, he said, it's not that. It's not thinking outside the box, it's enlarging the box. What if there's none of these? What if there's not? I understand that there's uniqueness to relationships. What if maybe there's, in a sense, not getting outside the ring we're in, but enlarging the ring? What if it's the ever-widening circle of God's love? Have a look, Ephesians 3, 18, 19. We've already kind of been there. We keep coming back there. When I think about the call, we've been looking in Ephesians to live a life of love, to walk in the way of love. Look at the language there. To grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. So you're going like, it's like this, how wide is that circle? And he's talking about to know and grasp it, but remember what he says at the end of that? And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that's an oxymoron. Doesn't make sense. It's a mystery that God's unknowable love could be known by us, that we could get a piece of it. It's like an ever-widening circle of his love. Now, you go, what do you mean? Like there is the love one another, and then there's the love your neighbor, and there does seem to be these lines of different ways of loving. Different, you know, like, you, well, there's the people in the church and the people outside the church. And is there a different dynamic to that relationship? Yeah, there probably is, but think of some of these words. Words of Jesus. Matthew 5, 43. You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. There's a line there, isn't there, that Jesus was saying that was, you know, pretty much the way of the Jewish people. But he says, but I tell you, love your enemy. He just took the line away. He just took the disciples and he says, here it is. He's not saying you need to get in the other circle. He just took the line away. He just widened the circle. In Romans 12, it's such an interesting passage talking about our dedication that we should have back to Jesus for what he's done for us. And then you get down to verse 9. He talks about being devoted to one another in love. And it's like this series of language that follows that you would think that that it's talking about in the church. He's talking about spiritual gifts. He's talking about devoted love to one another. And yet, you know what? The language goes on. He starts to talk about the evil being done and the persecution being done and the enemies being done and the need not to take vengeance. It doesn't sound like the church family. I want to suggest to you that when Paul starts into this, this is what love should look like as you're devoted to one another and you know, and brotherly love kind of thing. It's like he goes out, he goes in, he goes out, he's in the church, he's outside the church, he's the guy who's persecuting us, he's our enemies, he's the one doing evil, the one doing good, living at peace with all men as much as it's possible for you. It's as if Paul just went, woof, like that. He starts off quite tight, you know. Let's be devoted to each other in love. To the ones who persecute us, to our enemies, to the ones who might do us evil, to all. He just widens the circle. And then I think of Jesus' prayer in John 17. I just want to pull up. I didn't have it here. Here we go. You might want to look there. John 17. So he's praying for his disciples. And then verse 20, he says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Down in verse 23, "Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." It's Jesus is like, here is the disciples. He's praying for them that they might know him and they might have unity. And then he prays for those who are not yet. And he just extends the prayer. And it's interesting, the same prayer. He extends the prayer. His love is beyond our knowledge and understanding. It's ever widening. And so we want to move in a way rather than into another box or into another ring. We want to widen the circle. We want to just take the next step in moving further and further into God's love. And I want to tell you that love is good and love is hard. Because even though we go, yeah, that's right, yeah, it's cool, it's like when it comes to later today or tomorrow, loving is hard. Loving your kids can be hard. Loving your neighbor can be hard. Loving your workmate can be hard. Loving the garden can be hard. You know, the parent, I love my kids so ridiculously much and they bring me great joy and they also frustrate the heck out of me and wear me down and they're my greatest trial. You see what it is? Can't live with them, can't live without them. That's what love is like. But in that, we can choose love. Even though it's hard, it's so good. I choose love. I want to be motivated by God's love for me to live a life of love. I want to choose to be kind, generous, patient, forgiving. For God is all of that to me. I'm motivated to love others, to love brothers and sisters and neighbours and even enemies. For I want them to know and experience his love too, like I have. Who's in your ever-widening circle? Rather than who's here that you want to bring on in, just who's here that you want to show his love to. Who is that? As we continue to pursue God's love, not by moving from one ring to the next, but by discovering that the circle of God's love is ever widening, for it is beyond knowing. As we continue that pursuit, you know what's great? Is God is able to meet us there. He is able to help us see him do amazing things. Think of the end of Ephesians passage. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. And I want to finish telling you something that after all these conversations with Andrew and then thinking through this, this is what I bumped into in the last week that just said to me this. So as we pursue God's love and we see this ever-widening circle, God is already doing immeasurably, doing amazing things beyond our imagination. Because I got surprised by love this week in a good way. So we're doing this Project Watertight thing at the moment about the roof, and we're letting people know about fundraising things. And so I sent out some emails, and I got this email back. We will absolutely share all the stuff on social media, etc. The cafe and staff make a fabulous difference to our clients. So far as I'm aware, Agora is the only location other than in the Coromandel in which the Waikato District Health Board area hosts a dementia cafe club. Kind regards, Sarah. Sarah comes and hosts the dementia cafe club here at Agora. And she says that the staff make a fabulous difference to our clients. I didn't even know we had a dementia cafe club meeting here. Stop it. And they love it. They love it. So I went out on Friday delivering posters around the street. I haven't done that probably since back V8 days. We used to be really present in the street here, some of us as staff, and I haven't for years. I don't even know my neighbours much. I know a few of the guys just close here and over here, but that's about it. So I went further down the street and taking these posters and everybody knew us. I didn't know that. I haven't been out and about lately. I don't know, maybe you haven't been out and about in your neighbourhood either. I haven't been out and about lately. And they didn't know me. And I didn't do anything that was notable that they knew about. They knew the space here. And they knew that something goes on here that's good. And they knew us. Some of the shops, two of them in particular, I walked in with my poster. And they went, yeah, the answer's yes. And I hadn't asked. And I was like, oh, I'm Campbell. Yeah, we know the Agora. You guys are great. Like, yeah, give me it here. What are you doing this time? I didn't even know that. Did not know that we were known in the street. You know that thing we've talked about before where years ago, you know, you'd say like, oh, if the church closed its doors tomorrow, would anybody notice? I want to tell you that we've been here in this building 12 years, the cafe's been running 10, and we're at a point now where if we close the doors tomorrow, our neighbours would notice because they value us. One of the ladies goes, oh, I come in every morning, I know what you're doing at the moment. They're present here, and they're appreciating the way they've been served and treated, being valued and welcomed and accepted in the space. And that's only here. I don't know what's going on in your neighbourhood, in your home, in your workplace, through you being present in love. I think of Ewan. When I think of love of the world, widening the circle of God's love, I think of Ewan. And thinking of his words, that's amazing. May we continue to be a people who are amazed at the love of God. As we discover it in Jesus and in the Word and in His world. As we'd embrace His love by faith and experience it through each other. May we be amazed at the love of God. But may we be a community of people into which the Ewans of this world don't just look and are surprised to find love, but into which they would be welcomed and embraced, and that they would discover that they're greatly loved. And so today's just an invitation to say, not will you join me in the next crazy thing we're doing or jumping into the next circle, but would you join me in just stepping into the ever-widening circle of God's love, where we would actually, from this family, continue to seek to love each other, but we would look up and we would see our neighbour and our street and our workplace, our city, our nation, our world, and we'd be willing to step into that with his love. Let's just pray.